well, I was coming home from Oxford Street on a Friday night, and I was walking home because I lived in Redfern, Surry Hills, and there was an area across the road in Moore Park where Damien met for casual sex and encounters. So I thought I'd check out what was happening over there. And I got in there, and I was only there a few minutes, and I heard some guy say, "There's one, get him." And I thought, "No, I'm in for it now." So
this is Alan Rosedale. He is describing an incident that occurred in 1989 on Sydney's Oxford Street.
Ran to get out of there as fast as I could. I thought if I get out onto South Darling Street, there'd be traffic around, there'd be people around, there'd be witnesses around, and they'd stop chasing me. But because it was about 2 a.m, there was no one around, and I finally tripped and fell in the gutter on South Darling Street, and they proceeded to hit me with the pieces of wood that they were carrying, and I passed out, and the next thing I woke up in St. Vincent's Hospital.
The attack that Alan survived was part of a spate of violence that was perpetrated against members of the LGBT community throughout the mid to late 20th century. Now, New South Wales Police, together with historians and scientists, have been re-examining crimes like these through what they call Strikeforce Parabel. Parabel examined 88 deaths which occurred between 1976 and 2000, which were flagged to possibly be motivated by gay hate bias. Activist and filmmaker Serkan Ozturk thinks that this report has been a long time coming.
Well, it's been a decade-long process if you look at it in terms of getting New South Wales Police to this stage, which was basically agree to some commonly held community concerns about these bashings and murders, you know, which stretch back, I guess. My research suggests goes, you know, 1950s, we can pinpoint youth gangs and others trying to go poofter bashing and fag bashing. But what's happened here is police have been basically forced over a number of years by community pressure and, you know, sometimes individual pressure from family members or victims to really look at this holistically and as a, I guess, in the context it required.
Dr. Kristen Davis, lecturing criminology from Monash University, thinks that the intentions of Strikeforce Parabel to re-examine old evidence rather than reinvestigate cases and social attitudes is flawed.
I do think they should have done something more because it seems what's come from it is that they've said, yes, there were, you know, gay hate murders, gay hate crimes that took place, but they found that it was very hard or to actually identify a gay hate bias in a number of the cases. And yet when you actually look at a number of those cases, which according to the research they said was guided by a number of possible gay hate indicators, so and this included offenders actually making quite public admissions to the crimes, a number of these crimes taking place close to known gay beats or gay venues, and also the sort of overkill involved in a lot of the cases, you know, the frenzied sort of nature of the attack. So these different indicators to me signal that a number of the crimes were in fact gay hate crimes, which obviously goes against the findings that have just been released by the police task force, who was saying it's almost impossible to identify bias.
Aside from the methodology that police have used for their report, Serkan Ozturk and other prominent advocates think that the attitudes of New South Wales Police now and in the past also need to be re-examined.
There's been a long link between police activity at gay beats, despite them denying it for decades. It's you can read it through the history, the newspapers at the time. Obviously, police don't want that history to be well known because we have to ask, if you're so intently watching these gay beats for so long and were so aware of them, how come you missed 20, 30, 40 murders, bashings, hundreds or probably bashings, right, which we never heard about because people are too scared to report to anyone?
The dynamics at play between the LGBT community and police are something that Alan Rosedale touched on when telling his story.
I was in hospital at St. Vincent's from Friday night through to the following Friday afternoon when I was discharged. And no policeman came to interview me. But I also knew when I got out of hospital that there was pointless me going to the police and saying, what is my statement? Or why didn't you come to me? Because I knew they weren't interested. And that sort of pervaded and went through the gay community. If you were attacked, you didn't really necessarily think, oh, well, let's go to the police and report it, because, well, we knew that they weren't going to do much.
Serkan Ozturk thinks that more needs to be done on the part of New South Wales Police.
So you can see they've been dragged to get to this point. Now we're at the point where they're saying they're considering an apology from the New South Wales Police Commissioner. And anyone in their right mind will be giving an apology, because this has been an absolute disgrace and a stain on New South Wales and Sydney's history. The gay community and the wider public need to heal and a chance for justice to occur.
Dr. Kristen Davis is advocating for independent oversight of the police.
So with the latest case with Strike Force Parable investigating, I really do think it is a matter of the police investigating the police, and would agree with what a spokesperson from ACON said, that there really needs to be an independent investigation of these cases. The police investigating the police, however much there are some dedicated and keen members of the police service involved in the investigations, I do believe that there actually needs to be an independent investigation.